Well, they have many ball handlers, and they have many three-point shooters, and they have many attackers. So you have to be on point on every possession. It's a possession-by-possession game. You relax, it's a three. You relax on offense, it's a turnover. So you have to, you really have to focus every time down the court, because this team is obviously, they're very skilled, they're talented. They're as good as any team in the league.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
Today's Friday, December 19th, 2014, and you are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And I'm fired up to announce that we're welcoming back into the huddle rapper, comedian, actor, and by far most importantly, old school Warrior fan, Simon Dirt Nasty Rex. What's going on, Simon?
Man, how are you guys doing? Because I'm just, I don't know the word, but I'm not even believing what's happening right now, and the pessimistic, you know, Warriors cursed fan that I am, or I'm waiting for the floor to fall out beneath me, and, you know, with this Bogut situation, I know Lee's coming back, but we're winning, we're beating teams like OKC and barely losing on the road to Memphis without our bigs. It's
insanity. No, it's insane. Okay, so for obvious reasons, I'm fired up to have you back. But the most important reason, man, is because you're an old school Warrior fan, and what you just said personifies my whole feel. I feel like a beaten dog. Like, I can't just entirely accept this because I'm waiting for something else to come in. So what I want to do with you, I want to fire off some general questions and then go in through some over-unders that are designed to see long-term if we really believe these guys can keep it up. Let me just ask you a general question right from the jump. Obviously, you're enjoying it, but in the depth of your heart, are you believing this, man? How are you experiencing this amazing goddamn Warrior season so far?
It feels like a dream. It feels like a weird dream. It feels like all these years built up to this, and now all the attention we're getting on, you know, ESPN and around the league and being, you know, ranked number one. It feels too good to be true. And usually in life, when something's too good to be true, it usually is. And, you know, from my whole life as a Warriors fan, and mind you, right now, I would go ahead and say this is hands down our best squad and most promising squad we've had.
Yeah. These guys dominate Run TMC.
In the history, I mean, we've won 17 out of 18. It's just, it's too good to be true. And part of me is like, look, we don't have to finish first or second. I mean, I almost want to go through our, because like right now we're hot. I almost want to go through a dry spell, you know, so come playoff time.
We've gotten that out of the way kind of thing. Yeah. So that we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I totally feel that. I out here in the Bay, the bandwagon fans are getting, it's unbelievable, man. Anywhere you go, people are wearing Warrior gear. You know, people who couldn't pick Vontigo Cummings out of a lineup of one are now pretending like they've been here forever. Are you seeing that in LA? Are there a lot of Warrior fans out there?
Not just in LA, man, everywhere I go. I mean, I'm seeing Steph Curry jerseys. I think he might, you know, be the top selling jersey right now. He's just, you know, the fan favorite for people who, and you know what, I'm not mad at new fans coming along. Like, that's fine with me. I'm not upset about people now liking the Warriors. Like, I'm not the dude who's just like, oh God, now you want to jump on. It's like, great, let's get as much support as we can.
Is that really true though, man? I mean, like, here, I'll give you a different, and maybe you're just healthier than me. I am just crazy neurotic and bitter. But for me, it feels like I've been waiting in line to get into a club for, what, 15 years. You know, these guys have been terrible. And now that they're finally great, now that they're finally opening up the goddamn door to the club, all these people are rushing in, not having had to wait in line at all. You know, suddenly they just get to enjoy the success without having to go through all these terrible years. You don't have any of that resentment or bitterness?
Well, yeah, I look at it like this. At least the club's jumping and there's a bunch of hot girls in there, and it's better than the opposite, which is, you know, no interest at all. So yeah. I feel like it's just good for us to be on the radar and getting this much love, but now expectations are high. So it's like, you know, no one's expecting us to win it. I you know, from what I've been watching on ESPN and reading online, right, is that, you know, the analysts are saying basically, you know, maybe not this year, but in the next 3 years, they could win a championship. And
why not this year, though? What's keeping you?
No, I agree. No, I agree. I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing, you know. And I totally think we could win it this year if we get hot come playoff time. As long as you know, and the main thing for me is that, you know, now that Steph Curry could rest a little bit, you know, because you know we got you know Barbosa, we got you know Livingston. So I feel like I'm loving seeing Curry rest and coming into the fourth quarter with fresh legs. So there's a lot of elements that I'm liking right now. And in a weird way, this Bogut situation, you know, him having the knee surgery with the plasma, you know, he's just all, it's just like, we're just waiting for him to get hurt. It's like, but it's almost like what Popovich is doing with Duncan, right, where he's purposely resting him. This is happening with us without purposely doing it. So it might be a blessing in disguise.
I love the optimistic look. For people who have not been paying attention as closely as the three of us, Bogut, in fact, did go out. Supposedly, he said his knee gave out during the early going of the Warriors game at Minnesota December 8th. First, they thought it was like runner's knee or something. Now they're saying it is chondromalacia or bone edema, which essentially means his bone is swollen up. They're not giving us any kind of a timetable, but you know, they're saying it's indefinite, and the Chronicle reported today it could be 3 to 4 weeks at least. Now, I love your look. That means, you know, he's going to be a little bit fresher, and I'm taking it the other way. It turns out you're going to be our optimist here, man. Let me give you a pessimistic view. It's making me feel like, of course this happened. You know, now it's going to avalanche out of control, and we're going to start going the other way. Have you been able to really stay in that happy bubble? Do you think he's going to come back,
yeah,
and we'll be fine?
Well, look, first of all, I don't think it's optimistic. I think it's realistic in the sense that I would rather this happen now and then have him be good to go come playoff time, because we know he's going to be injured half of the year anyway. So let's get it out of the way now, you know?
Yeah, well, also importantly, the Warriors did so well at the start of the season that they've given themselves a really nice buffer, because so every team in the NBA is going to go through injuries in an 82-game season. So the Warriors are not going to be an exception to that, and they've set themselves up well for an injury if you can do that.
I'll piggyback on both your guys' points, man, especially yours, Simon. I would prefer be the eighth seed in the playoffs with Bogut than the number one seed without him.
I was about to say the same thing. I'm not worried about like having the perfect record. Like that would be great to have the best record in the league, you know, this year, which is possible. You know, it is possible we could finish, you know, within the top three in the league. For me, again, just being healthy, you know, like in football as well, you just want to be healthy at the end of the year, at the end of the season, when you need them most. So I'm being realistic, not pessimistic or optimistic.
Let me put us in another pessimistic mindset before I ask you another thing. And pessimistic is the wrong way to put it. Let's get your realistic look on another problem that's happening. I know that Rondo ultimately changed teams today. I know he went to the Mavs. I don't know the details.
I'm not worried about it because he shoots 30% from the free throw line. There's so many guards in the West as well that we have to worry about, you know, from Portland to, the guards in the West are just so deep that this is just another, you know.
But what about the teams in the West? I mean, you're looking at a Dallas starting five of Rondo, Monte Ellis, Tyson Chandler, Chandler Parsons, and Dirk Nowitzki. That is a strong starting five.
That's a dirty-ass team.
I know.
You know, I still feel like we can beat them, but we now have, and I'm worried about San Antonio. I was worried about Memphis, and now kind of on the outside, I'm worried about Dallas. You know, and you said this, you put it beautifully last time we had you on.
Dallas is definitely an issue, and, you know, because we beat them without Parsons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we did.
I think when we played him, he was out, and you know, that might have been the difference. Like, if you, you know, we'd be on the road, like, if he was in, that's, you know, hey, look, be realistic. That's another 17 points or, you know.
Sure.
It's, you know what, the bottom line is, it's exciting and it's so amazing to get this, you know, national or international attention. I'm just, you know, and the bottom line is, we're the funnest team in sports to watch, hands down. And I'm entertained, and it's a roller coaster every night. And you know, if we don't win it this year, I'm not going to, it's not the end of the world. I would just love to get past the second round. I think for me, that would be, you know, an achievement and building towards what I think we could get the ring in the next 3 years. You know,
yeah. I mean,
that's where I'm at.
Speaking of entertaining, like the first half of that OKC game last night was insane basketball. I've never seen anything like that.
Man, I'm so pissed. I'm so pissed because I missed it. It's my girlfriend's birthday. So, and
You're a good man. No, it was what it was, man. You definitely made the right call. You don't have to answer this question, but I'll speak from my own personal experience. The fact that you missed the game for your girlfriend's birthday suggests to me that you guys are only been together for, you know, a couple years. I have pissed off my wife now so many times, man, because we've had a birthday, and I don't show up. Yeah, okay, there you go. Exactly.
It's right. Brand new. It's a month into it.
You had to pay your dues. No, you had to pay your dues, man. You know, there was no call there.
If you have TiVo or NBA League Pass, go back and watch that first half.
Well, here's the deal. On NBA League Pass, I can't watch it because it was on TNT. So I could, you know, I was out and about, at, you know, bar hopping, so I couldn't watch it on my phone and sneak away and you know, watch it, but I'm going to find on NBA TV, I'll find the rerun because my phone never has blown up so much from every one of my friends. Like, are you watching this? I'm like, oh, I'm so pissed.
You're a good man though, Simon. Speaking as a guy who's gotten caught watching the goddamn phone at the table, like that old school TV commercial, and then just got punked. You made the right, thank God it wasn't on Game Time, that you couldn't catch it on TNT. You made the right fucking call, man. And also
you're right. Because, you know, it's new. I'm in the honeymoon phase.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Hell yes.
But she thinks it's cute because she's from the Bay as well. Okay. She was born in Alameda, raised in Stockton. So she's, you know, she's not sports savvy.
Well, you can use this against her too. So you've obviously have already figured this out, but the other side to that coin is that she is still going to be willing to sit down and watch some games with you, you know, even though she doesn't give a about it. So you're only going to get that for about a year, man. So, you know, really play that out as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and like you said, after a year, I'm not going to feel bad about watching it while she goes hanging out with her friends.
Exactly right. Because
it's almost embarrassing. Like, I'm still you know, when you're first dating a girl and you're kind of putting on, not an act, but you're showing the best of you.
Yeah.
So if she was to see me running around the living room, pulling my hair out, screaming, she might be like, this guy is a psycho. I'm out of here. It might be a good thing.
No question. Let me put us back on Warrior track and get us to the over-unders, because there's some people here and some numbers here I really want to run by you. Let me start with an easy one. So I did a little bit of math today, which generally comes pretty difficult for me. So I had to use a computer. But from what I can tell, we are on pace literally to win 72 games, the same as Jordan's Bulls and Steve Kerr's Bulls. Now, we're not going to win 72.
Well, you heard Steve Kerr scoff at that, right?
Yeah, and of course he did. He said, look, Michael won 10 of those games on his own, and we don't have Jordan, so that's not going to happen. So let me reduce it. Let's take away those 10 games that Mike was responsible for. My over-under on wins for you is 62. Over or under at the end of the year?
Okay, forgive my misunderstanding of over-under.
Yeah, no, so I put the over-under on wins at 62. Do you think at the end of the year, do you think they'll have more or you know, over 62 wins or under 62 wins at the end?
What did we have last year? 52? What was it last year?
Yeah, I think 52.
What did we have last year?
Yeah,
50, 52. Early, like low 50s.
Low 50s, exactly right.
I would believe that we could, staying healthy, mind you, achieve that number.
I want you to factor all that in. What do you think is going to happen? You know, that whatever the health is, you know, that factor all of that in, and then what do you think? Over or under 63 or 62 wins?
I'm gonna have some Warriors faith and say that we could go over that.
Wow.
Because, you know, we've been winning all this 17 out of 18 game winning streak, and a lot of them have been on the road. And now that we have a good home stretch for a while, that we could even get a bigger lead going. And, I still have that visceral fear of the Kings or these teams that are just like, but it's so funny because this year what I'm noticing is that those games that we normally lose, we're now winning, you know, by a landslide. So it's comforting to see us with an injured team with our big men just killing it, you know?
And those games are often ending pretty early, whereas I remember last year, even when they would ultimately beat the Kings, let's say, but it'd be a real close first half, and then the third quarter, they kind of pull away. This year, they're just blowing teams out off the start.
And I love what this team has done to you, Simon. We're going to change your name from Dirt Nasty to Super Happy, man. So far, everything's been on the up and up, which I love.
You know, what's the big man's name on Sacramento who's injured right now?
Cousins, but he just came back. Yeah, DeMarcus.
So I believe he's hurt. So that's comforting for us to win against them, because I still have the fear of losing to the Kings.
The filthy Kings.
Know.
Hell yeah. I mean, and they're our partner in being terrible for the last 20 years. All right, here, let me give you another darling of the season. See if you think he can keep it up. Mo Bucket Spates has been unbelievable.
Wow.
His points per game are only 12, which I was surprised. It feels like it's way more than that. But at the end of the year, do you think he can keep that up, man? Over, under, 12 points per game.
I mean, honestly, I think it's all about confidence, and he's just in the zone, and he's just on fire, and, you know, he's the X factor, you know? He's the Jared Jack, not the same position, but he's like the Jared Jack, you know, that is just comes through surprisingly. And it's amazing to watch him, because it's all in your head, and he's so confident, and I believe that he can keep it up all year. But the good thing is we're so deep now that if he's having an off night, let's say, we haven't seen much of Brandon Rush, but, you know, Sean Livingston, who's just blowing me away with his gameplay right now.
And that's what I really like, is how Sean Livingston and Mo Spates, I think, have really started to learn a two-man game with each other. Yeah. And they've really come to understand where they are each going to be at in any given play. So Livingston, who's a true point guard, I really think he has a pass-first mentality, is starting to understand, if I drive right, I know that Spates is going to kind of flash to the top and have that free throw line jumper open. So it's been real nice to watch those two really carry the second team.
Well, and it's always the whole Mo Spates experience, man. How awesome has it been? You know, just the idea of this guy who has always kind of been an off the bench guy, and now is coming out and have these explosive games. You know, it's like having a mini party, an unexpected one.
I know, and that's just adding to our majestic season thus far. And you know what's funny is that, like, in this weird way, I'm not even celebrating and, you know, oh my God, we're doing so good, because it feels like a bizarre dream.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, and
it was like a mushroom trip. I mean, I feel like, you know, like I literally feel like I'm tripping whenever I'm watching these guys. Like, I can't really trust what it is that I'm seeing. Yeah. And you don't have to certify that one way or the other, you know, I won't construe your silence as assent, you know?
Yeah. He's saying he won't construe your silence as an assent.
That you'd have any idea what I was talking about as a mushroom trip. You know, I'm sure. Yeah,
Of course. I've never done drugs. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly right.
So, I mean, moving on to the next over-under, another guy who has surprised me a lot, particularly in the topic we're about to discuss, Draymond Green and his three-point shooting. He has turned into a true stretch four. He's averaging 1.6 three-pointers per game. What do you think? Does he end the year with an average of higher than 1.6 or under?
And here, let me be the asshole first and then see if you agree. This seems insane. I love Draymond. I will pay him over Lee. I want to keep him. He's crazy valuable. I don't believe he can keep up this pace. 1.6 sounds kind of small. For point of reference, Steph is only averaging 3. So it's only 1.5 less than Steph is every single game. I say he can't keep it up. What do you think, Simon?
Okay, but even if he can keep it up and it slightly goes down in percentage, his defense, his spirit, he's
everything.
It's not just about those minimal few points that are going to make the difference to me. It's about him and what he's bringing to the team, and Barnes as well, starting now and having him coming back to his old ways, even though, you know, old might not be the right word, because, you know, just a couple of years ago when he was balling and then he got benched and then he wasn't playing good. So
do you pay Draymond, or do you keep him over Lee, or what would you do?
God, that's a really good question. And it's funny, 'cause I've become friends with Lee and I've, you know,
Well, don't worry. He doesn't listen to this. I can guarantee you.
Also, I think you just answered without answering. The fact that your first thought was, oh, that's my boy. Like, I'm not sure if I can say it, but no, go ahead. What do you think?
No. If he's still an 18 and 10 guy.
Right.
And a bully. And, you know, I love what he brings to the team because he's, you know, we need that Dennis Rodman-esque, you know, player who's just ballsy and I want to keep him. Is it a matter of either one or is that the issue?
It looks like money wise, unless the cap goes up way higher than we think, it's going to be two of the following three players: Iguodala, Draymond Green, and David Lee. So, you know, if you had to pick two of those three, who is it that has to leave?
Ooh, well, you know, because of you know, Lee's injuries and my gut is saying to keep Draymond Green and Iggy, not, you know, in any racial way, because
somewhere David Lee just erased your contact from his phone, man. That's what you're gonna.
Well, that's the thing. He follows me on Twitter, so he sees my shit. So if I retweet this, he might just listen to it.
You sure? Do you mind if I name the episode "The Day Simon Rex Turned His Back on David Lee"? I mean, we'll get his attention, right? Any kind of sensationalism.
He's such a good guy, and obviously he's, you know, done so well for us. But that's a really tough question. I'll take any of the, like if we lose. You know, God, that's so tough because they're all three so good in their own way. But Draymond Green, and here's my selfie's choice, Simon.
It's a selfie's choice. You got to make it.
Let me make the case for David Lee real quick. What you see from a team like OKC, and the Clippers did it to us in the playoffs last year, is they start to bum rush Steph. They throw a million guys at him. Any pick and roll, they just double team him and trap him. What you saw last year in that Clippers series is Steph dumping it off to David Lee, and David Lee running a sort of half-court, four-on-three fast break where he just started to dismantle the Clippers. And that's how they got their first couple wins in that series. I don't think Draymond can do something like that. And so I think that in the playoffs, they need David Lee in order to do that.
All right, Simon, let me be the devil on the other side of your shoulder. Hold on. Let me give you the case against, and then you make our final call on it. I will say that David Lee is a stat guy, not an intangible guy. So that he gives you 18 and 10, which is phenomenal, but he doesn't give you all the other muscle stats, all the other things that someone like Draymond and Iguodala gives. And I'm going to take us back 2 years ago.
That's what I was about to say.
When he got hurt against Draymond's Spurs. Defense. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, but I mean, when we lost David Lee's stats against Denver, I mean, way back in the, you know, 2 years ago, we could fill those stats. You know, we brought in people like Landry. We brought in people like Jared Jack, and we were able to cobble it together 18 and 10. If you lose the intangible stuff that Bogut brings, that Draymond brings, that Iguodala brings, you can't replace that. And because of that, I think you let David Lee go. What do you think?
That's before teams learned how to guard Steph.
I think that's the point, and I think that Draymond Green is playing with such confidence and such passion, and not that David Lee doesn't, because he plays with as much passion as, you know, Westbrook or Kobe or anyone. He's right. Just that dude. And so is Draymond. So it's six of one, half dozen of another. Sure. It's, you know, I'm good either way. Like, this is a good problem to have.
Hell yes. And let the record reflect, we are actually pointing a gun at Simon. So David, if you're listening, you know, he doesn't want to be saying this. Let me whisk us away to a different direction, man. All-stars on the season. I'd say right now we're probably thinking two, right? Both Clay and Steph. What do you think? Do you think that happens? You know, and just to keep up the rubric, over under 1.5.
I do. I think that they could. I mean, mine. You know, obviously there's so many, you know, two guards in the league that are tough to compete with. But, you know, God, it's really exciting to watch. And his confidence and the contract that he just got, Klay Thompson. That he just got, I feel like his game elevated between last year to the summer league or, you know, whatever the off season league when he went to play for the USA, and just, you know, was, I think, the second highest scoring team. Like, his confidence right now is just, you know, amazing. And again, it's all about confidence. And if we could keep riding this wave of just, you know, knowing that we could be, because I always see in the interviews, they're always like, we know we could beat anyone. You know, we know we could beat any team in this league, and they can. You know, still my biggest concern is San Antonio.
Right.
Just because they got our number, and they're just so, you know, deep, and they're so, even though they're old, they just, I don't, they're just a mother man. So I'm hoping, that's why I'm hoping, I don't care if we finish first, second, or third, as long as we don't have to match
avoid
up
those guys
with them.
Hell yes.
And a Dallas or OKC could knock them out. That would make me very happy. And, you know, with the injuries that OKC is having, you know, it's, we have a chance to hopefully get lucky and match up against, a team like, you know, but it's crazy. You think about it, Portland, OKC, Dallas, like none of these guys, I'm worried about any of them in the first round, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But I feel like our experience in the last couple of years in the playoffs are going to really come into play.
Of course.
And I think it's all confidence. You just look at them and they're just having fun and they're just beautiful to watch. And what Steve Kerr is doing, his offensive, it's just beautiful to see it all come together.
And they're bringing the two eras together, because this team has always been exciting to watch, even when they were winning, you know, 15 games, because we always put up scores. You know, now we've got the best of both worlds. Simon, you know, these guys are still a league pass team. People across the nation want to watch us because we're so goddamn exciting, but we're now winning. You know, we didn't lose any of the excitement. We just brought on board defense and efficiency, and suddenly we're this amazing elite team. What were you saying, Scott?
I mean, if you had to choose a third All-Star, though, for this team, you know, let's say it is more than two All-Stars, I don't know who that person is. I would say Bogut, but now with him being injured.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now who it is.
You should say David Lee.
Hands down, Kuzmich.
Don't you kind of want to grab a drink with Kuzmich? Don't you feel, I mean, like it might be hell of awkward and a lot of like pause, weird silences, but he seems like he would be an entertaining dude just to be around. He reminds me of that guy, Zarko Chabarkaba from way back when. There's an old school Warrior name for you, man.
I would say Bogut or Barnes would be the next one up, but yeah.
Wow.
And Iggy ain't going to get it because of the depth and the guard, you know, in the West, all the guards. So, Bogut healthy in the West. There really is. I mean, obviously, Duncan and Memphis, his name's escaping me. The
Marcus Gasol. Yeah. Marcus Gasol has been killing it this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough for him to get in that
true.
Slot, but,
and he's hurt,
but a healthy Bogut is, you know, a beast.
I will say that Bogut, and any of the people you just named, and I'll include Marcus Gasol, and also this is remarkably biased, but Bogut adds more to the team when he is healthy than any of the other big guys we threw out there, and those stats don't translate to All-Star numbers generally, so he probably won't make it, but he is still crazy important. Here's my last over-under, and I'll drop the whole over-under thing. Let me just ask you straight out. Do you see a trade happening, man? As this season unfolds, do you think these guys need to make a move, or are you fine standing pat with exactly what the hell we have?
Well, that's a really tough one, because it's like, you know, who are we giving up and who are we getting?
Sure.
It's all about chemistry. Right?
And that's
now,
what I was trying to trigger. Right.
Is so good that it sometimes that could really mess it up if we give up a I doubt it would happen, but a Barnes or a Iggy for someone equally as good, let's say, on paper. That doesn't mean we're going to be better, because we're gelling, and that's what it's all about, you know? So I'm fine with not trading anyone, you know, minus trading some amazing trade like, you know, Holiday for, you know,
LeBron. Right. You know, I mean, like,
yeah, exactly.
Something ridiculous.
But, you know,
that's
just a dream. So
like those type of trades you do in fantasy basketball, you just offer your friend just a totally one-sided, just a dickhead trade offer.
Or the stupid shit I'll do on ESPN's trade machine where I'll make the money match up, you know, and suddenly we've had this amazing team, but there's no way it'll ever happen. Give us a softball opinion on Kerr. I mean, obviously you're happy, but what's it like watching this team under Kerr? Are you pretty fired up to see it? What do you think?
I'm just as excited about Gentry, to quote Mike McGinnis. You know, I'm loving watching his demeanor, and then when he gets pissed, I didn't think when, you know, coming into it, I was like, I felt like he was a passive, you know, not an A type personality, but I like watching him get fired up. You know, Mark Jackson, on the other hand, not to compare, but Mark Jackson, you know, when something bad would happen, would just sort of have this reserved look on his face and like roll his head or whatever. Yeah. And while Kerr, his passion, and here's the weird thing is that Mark Jackson was such a motivational speaker, as he's a priest and he's, you know, really good at, you know, motivating him. And when you watch Kerr, it's a lot more calm and zen like. You know,
right. Hell
similar
yes.
to his, you know, his coaches. So I'm really excited about Kerr and Gentry. I mean, I couldn't be happier. But again, like everything was happening so good so far this year that I didn't get the NBA league pass because part of me was just like, I can't even watch this because something's going to go, you know, I'm just still the Warriors curse, you know.
It's like Wile E. Coyote. Like if you look at it too closely, suddenly you're going to fall off this cliff, you know.
I have this weird thing. Like I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. I'm a huge Outkast fan. I don't own any Outkast or Michael Jackson albums because they're so good. I almost don't even want to have them around.
Right. That's a good analogy.
Thank God you picked that up, Simon, because I had no idea what the hell he was talking about there. You guys can immediately associate on that. Now, here is something I did want to bother you about, Simon, and it fits in perfectly. You talked about Mike McGinnis. We talked about a quote. He came on our show a little while back.
Yeah, I listened.
Okay,
I listened.
Phenomenal. Then you may or may not remember this quote. Just to refresh your recollection, let me play it for you, and then I want your honest reaction. Here, give me a second. Well, the only reason I ask, you may have heard your boy Simon Rex, who was nice enough to come on our podcast a couple episodes back, and he proclaimed, without worrying about it, that he was, in fact, the best Warrior fan, or at least the biggest Warrior fan in L.A. What do you think, man? Do you agree?
Well, I heard the podcast, and it was strong. Hats off to you and Simon.
Thank you.
I also noticed on the podcast that you guys actually censor when people use swear words, correct?
Yep.
Okay, then I can answer this question honestly. Simon Rex is a f***ing hack that could not handle my power as a Warriors fan. We were good friends until I heard that podcast, but now I'm honestly considering clipping that stupid of an Other than the podcast, though, that's my dude.
All right, there you go. So any parting shots back to Mike?
I knew that was coming, and here's my argument to that. Here's the deal. Mike McGinnis is really, really, really smart, not just in basketball, but he's a very brilliant person in a lot of ways, and he is very basketball smart when it comes to, you know, things like, I don't like when – you know, Jackson was doing this and I think we need to do this. So he's really smart with it, but that doesn't make him a bigger fan because my argument to that is he's always mellow about it. Like, oh dude, don't worry about it. We're good. You know, that I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? We're it's game 7. We don't got it. So my passion is a lot more strong than his, but his education is stronger than mine.
Let me see if I can paraphrase your argument in saying, F*** you, Mike McGinnis. Is that pretty much what you're saying? Or am I not picking that up?
Can I swear on the show?
Yes, of course you can.
Mike McGinnis, F*** you, 6'7", non-layup making, hack, redheaded carrot top, completely out of control, bull in a china shop basketball player. I will murder you on the court. Your argument is that you lived in Oakland and I lived in Alameda, which is basically South Oakland. It's the same thing. I actually geographically grew up closer to the Coliseum.
I mean, how are you not throwing out your biggest point here is that you were a Rock and Jock MVP.
I mean, you know, I didn't even want to, you know,
didn't
hit
even have to
belt.
Pull that.
So, you know what I like is that me and him have a really fun breaking each other's balls thing about who's the bigger fan and going to the games. And I'm like the neurotic Jewish guy who's freaking out. He's like, dude, we're fine. It doesn't matter if we finish fourth, fifth, we're good. And I'm like the one going, dude, it's over. The season's over. We're doomed.
As a neurotic Jew myself, man, I immediately associate with you. Just immediately, although Mike was phenomenal, and what we need to do is have all four of us on a podcast at the same time, because I think that would be a shitload
of
fun.
We gotta do. I thought you were black.
No, I'm a white Jew, man.
Oh man,
I'm just from Oakland. Yeah. I'll take that as a compliment, though. You know, that is awesome. Yeah. You know, so this may be a shock to multiple listeners, but no. I'm a white Jew, and for that, I immediately associate with you. One of many reasons I love to have you on the show. Hey, are you going to go to the Clipper game on Christmas?
I'm going to be up in Northern California, and I can't go. So I will be watching it with my face 2 inches away from the TV screen going crazy, because that's still our rivalry. And
hell yeah.
It's funny because we're getting the attention that they got last year. Like last year, they were the team that was the highlight reel and the this and that. But right now, it's just Warriors, Warriors, Warriors. Yeah. I'm loving it.
You and I both. I tell you what, man, if you're in town long enough, give me a call. I'll prove to you, in fact, that I am a white Jew. Maybe we can watch some of that game together. And at the risk of stating the obvious, you are the man. Thank you so much for coming, man. This was huge fun. We'd love to have you on again and kind of check in later on in the season and see if all these predictions are in fact coming true.
That's it. We're done.
Well, Jesus, I don't want to take up more of your time, man. You got any huge takes? Give me a prediction here. Where do you think the Warriors end up?
Oh, okay. You know, this is, you know, nobody could predict this because of the injury situations with not just us, with OKC, with anybody. They could just, you know, it's all a matter of who's going to be healthy come playoff time. And I just know we're playing with a chip on our shoulder from last year. Let me close it with this. We're playing with a chip on our shoulder from the last couple years.
Hell yes.
Our experience in the playoffs has just become miles further than where we were.
Exactly,
and
right.
My prediction is that we have, I would bet money, and I don't gamble, that we could get a ring in the next 3 years.
Oh,
is it going to be this year? I don't know. But a healthy Bogut, a healthy Lee. And one more thing, it's really cool to see us playing. Cause you know, when Mark Jackson was coaching us, it would kind of the slow down game with Bogut was hurting us, but this year it's a whole different thing. And I'm just loving Steve Kerr and his decision to stay out west. And imagine how bummed he would have been at the Knicks right now. He would have just been kicking himself in the ass.
This is my final question, because Scott will kick both of our asses because he doesn't like to edit anything over 35 minutes. So you have no idea the daggers that he's staring into my cheek right now. But here's my final question. As someone who made it through all those burger years, Simon, you know, the decades of goddamn torture we went through to get through this, how much more special does this feel for you? You know, do you feel like you've kind of justified it and we deserve this? Or are you just focusing on the current, not worrying about the past?
I'm focusing on the current. I feel like, you know, we're not the Cubs. We don't have a curse like that. Huh. We now have arguably the best team in the league, and I'm really confident that we could go really deep, again, with our healthy big,
of course,
into the playoffs. And with a healthy team, we could, I mean, it's obvious, we could beat anybody. And even if, you know what, even if we're not, even if we, you know, don't have Lee or Bogut or, you know, obviously Curry out, whole different situation. But without one of our bigs, we could go deep in the playoffs. And I'm confident that we could, you know, go all the way, maybe not win the championship, but at least get there.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Well, hopefully you're absolutely right. And even more hopefully, we get to have you back on again, maybe a little bit closer to the end of the year, see where they are and get your opinions again, man.
Let's do this every month or two and just, you know, keep it going. And I'm always down to do this with you guys.
Sounds like a plan. We really appreciate it. Take it easy. Go Warriors, and enjoy the honeymoon portion of your relationship, man. It's by far the best.
Thank you, my brother.
Please remember, you guys, that if you're looking for us on Twitter, we can be found at Warriors Huddle. Our email address remains warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our website is warriorsworld.net, where the video will appear. Check it out, by the way. If you like the podcast, the video guys, Sumit and Jeff, are just kicking ass, putting that together again, warriorsworld.net. And then selfishly, at least for us two, and perhaps most importantly, we can be found on a bunch of podcasting services, including iTunes. And what we want is reviews.
Also, we're on a Stitcher, which is an app that you can also get on a phone that you have an Android. If you have an Android phone or a Google phone or whatever, then use Stitcher. We also need some reviews on that, so we'd really appreciate that. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We're growing every month, so keep it up.
Go Warriors. Thanks so much for listening, and hopefully we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Happy holidays.
I'm like, yo, man. What? I rolled in straight from Oakland, holding my dick like a U.S. Open trophy. What up, hyphy? Y'all don't know me. Dirt nasty.
Good.